Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to a very, I don't even know what emotion to describe it as, Crown Conversations. Joining me today is Sarah Avampato because James is busy as usual, but she's much cooler than James. So I'm sorry, James, but it's true.
Take that.
Emotions, frustration, sadness, frustration, angst, frustration.
Annoyed. Disappointed, but not surprised.
All right. Well, let's briefly start with the road trip from hell, which is 0-3, and gave up three goals in like 3 minutes. I don't know if it was 3 minutes, but it was like very quickly.
Just so bad. Everything was so bad. Like, why? Why have they? I mean, I know why. It's because, like, as we'll talk about later, we have a bunch of defensemen who are maybe, like, not playing in the roles that they should be playing in for reasons outside of their control. And, like, everyone's kind of hit a wall and they're tired. And this is, I was just talking about it on Locked On Kings, where, like, I didn't even think about it, but this is the first time in years that we have had a full 82-game schedule. Like, the past 2 years were short because of COVID and, like, introducing a bunch of young guys who haven't played that much. Like, it's just, like, everything is going wrong all at once. And, like, the adrenaline of, like, oh, crap, all of our defensemen are dead. We have to play all these children is finally, like, wearing off. And it's like, oh, crap, we're playing all these children.
Yeah, it's... I think hitting a wall is a really good way to describe it, because it's just like there's nothing left in the tank. I feel like they have they went through. I mean, March was a schedule from hell. Mm-hmm. 4 weeks of 4 games in 7 days. Mm-hmm. Like, so 16 games inside of a month. That's a lot when the average is usually 12 to 13. And even that tends to be a lot. So, like, you're playing an extra 4 games inside of a month. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's like, even, you can tell it's starting to wear thin, even on the veterans. And the guys that you're getting back from injury, who should be a punch in the arm, pun intended there, because Brendan Lemieux came back, they're not providing the quite the punch that you were kind of, or at least that I was kind of expecting.
Yeah, I feel like all the guys who are coming back, like Lizotte jumped right back in and looked okay. But I feel like, you know, Matt Roy still looks like he needs to get up to speed. Brendan Lemieux has looked kind of pointless, like both literally and figuratively. Like the players that they're adding back in, it just seems like because of the schedule right now, and like the schedule right now has also been pretty jam packed. Like there hasn't been a lot of practice time. There hasn't been a lot of time for them to like ease back into it, and instead it's like, you know, they got dumped into a part of the schedule that was just brutal, and it's like, all right, sink or swim, and we see what they have chosen.
I understand Todd McClellan's inclination to play his veterans over the kids, because it's like, well, you're in the home stretch here, you're really mm-hmm. trying to get them going, and it's good for the veterans to get back in. But at the same time, my concern, at least this, you know, I feel like this probably should have been a bigger concern. Rust, we saw it mm-hmm. with Edler, which is why he keeps getting scratched. I mean, I know Edler's not that old. He's only like 30 something, but that's old for defense. I mean, mm-hmm. that's old for a hockey player. And it just, Philip Deneau cannot carry this team anymore. And Andrzej Kopitar is, he's like done. I think Andre Kopitar washed his hands of this team in like December. He's like,
he just needs a nap. Like, does he need like a Snickers? Like, yeah, it's just, it's frustrating. It's so frustrating to watch because we've seen them be good. We saw them be good through this stretch where, like, again, Olli Maatta was the only veteran defenseman in the lineup, and we're like, oh wow, they're still winning games like easily. And it's just like, it's like the controller disconnected like meme, only it happened to literally all of them except for like Trevor Moore. Everyone has just like run out of battery at the worst possible moment, because Edmonton's winning games, Vegas is winning games, like I think Dallas and Nashville, I think, are like also the teams in the contention for that wild card spot. Like, they're winning games. It's time to it's do or die. Like,
and they have chosen to die.
Right. God. I mean, I hope not. Like, I mean, like, looking at the rest of their schedule, they should win many of these games. Like, the only legitimate team that they're playing is Colorado. But
they're going to get crushed against Colorado. They've scored three goals in three games against Colorado.
Yeah, like that one's a scheduled loss. Like, I just assume that they're losing that game. But like Chicago, Anaheim, Columbus, mm-hmm. like these are all very bad teams. They should win some of these. But will they?
I don't know. I mean, it's nice to see that Jordan Spence has played himself into somewhat of a regular role, and mm-hmm. he was not the first man out once Matt Roy came back. And I know Matt Roy's left side and Jordan Spence's right side, so therefore, you know, he was a little bit safe. But at the same time, I just feel like maybe we should go back to playing the Ontario Reign.
Right? Like, just... it's just the most annoying thing. It's so everything that is happening to this team right now is just so obnoxious.
Yeah, I calculated it. Wait, I have to look it up. How many points does Vegas have?
Too many.
If they can... If they get even 1 point out of the four points, so they're playing five playoff teams. They're playing Dallas, St. Louis, Calgary, Edmonton, and Washington. So if they take 0 points out of those games, LA is safe.
Yeah. They have 84 points right now, and the Kings are at 86.
Oh God, that's no.
And they have a game in hand on the Kings.
Oh, do they really? I thought they only had nine. Yeah. Oh yes, they do. You're right. Yeah. Kings only have 8 games left.
And again, 7 of them are against like teams that shouldn't actually be hockey teams. So like that should bode well, but. We've all watched this team for a very long time now. We know that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. We just have to hope that Vegas collects 0 points in 5 of their games. Or only 5 points in their next 9 games. That works too.
Like, they just need to fail some more. It's okay. They need to experience what everyone else experiences. Failure.
Yeah. So if Vegas collects 12 points and LA collects 12 points in their next games, 13, yeah, Vegas would have to collect 14 points to surpass the Kings. If the Kings have 12 points, they should make the playoffs with 98 points. I think one team in the post-expansion era has missed with 99 points, but that was in like the 90s.
Yeah.
So in theory, the Kings should be able to get in with 12 points. Vegas has to get 14 points in 9 games. I feel like that's harder to do.
Right. It should be harder to do. And like, let me just, on the record, I will be furious. Like, I don't even care. Kings win, lose, whatever. I will be furious if Vegas somehow manages to finally, like, put together a, like, lengthy, competent stretch of hockey that makes them look like the Vegas that everyone hates and not the Vegas that's been bad this year. I will be so mad if this is when they choose to do it. At, like, just, I will just be furious. Like, even if the Kings get into the playoffs by, like, 1 point, like, no, I will just be so mad. Like,
I mean, it could be like based on row. I don't know who has the edge in row, but like whoever wins, like if Kings win the tiebreaker or whatever, like I will be so mad if Vegas starts just, winning games again.
That team exists just to like infuriate me. That's their only reason for existing.
Well, that's how I feel about Minnesota though.
Oh yeah.
Can Minnesota just go away? Like,
I wish.
I'm tired of Kirill Kaprizov and everybody just like fawning over him. Like, I understand he's really good, but this is like 10 years ago when everybody was fawning over Sidney Crosby and like Alex Ovechkin. I'm like, yes, I know these guys are good, but like,
all right, let's move on.
Like, stop. I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen somebody with so much skill. And they have like, you know, the anime eyes that are like all big and like wobbly and like, I'm like, I'm just tired of it.
That's fair.
But Vegas, back to Vegas, they are actually starting to get some of their injured guys back. Max Pacioretty just came back, and, you know, he's a big boost to them. Dadonov is, that was a really big, you know, trade deadline pickup for Vegas.
Right? Like, they never would have known what his impact was going to be. Just unbelievable. So unexpected.
It was a good gamble for Las Vegas.
I can't believe Anaheim gave him up.
I know, for nothing. yeah, you know, Dadonov is playing well. I forget how many points he has, but I think he picked up, like, 3 points in 5 games or something. So it's crazy. Yeah, so... And then on the injury front for LA, we got some bad news today, so that we are not going to get some key players back.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
not to, you know, depress everyone, but Drew Doughty he underwent successful wrist surgery, which nobody knew that he was going to get wrist surgery, so... There's that. And he's out for the rest of the season. So even if the Kings do somehow make it to game 83, he won't be around, which means that even if somehow the Kings make the actual playoffs, they're screwed.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, and like, this is like, not to be like conspiracy theory, but like the less we heard about Drew Doughty, the more I was like, oh, this isn't good. Like, no one has even like seen him, and usually that's a bad sign. Whenever, I mean, same with Dustin Brown. I feel like obviously Dustin Brown is, unfortunately for him, not as like integral to the team's success at this point in his career, but we haven't heard peep about Dustin Brown, and I'm pretty sure that like he's done too, and they're just not saying anything because whatever. But I had a bad feeling about Doughty, the cagier they were about his injury. And yeah, here we are. And the whole problem of all of the defense having to play up in roles that they probably aren't ready for or aren't best suited for is going to keep continuing because he's gone.
Yeah, but I mean, as much as I love Drew Doughty, he's 32 years old now. And let's face it, like, once the clock turns, like, once on your 30th birthday, things start going wrong. I don't know why. Like, one day you're 29, the next day you're 30, and your body's like, that's it, I'm done.
Yep.
Just shut it down. We're done.
Right. And I feel like, for Doughty, like, it's especially frustrating because, like, the past couple seasons of his were just, like, hot garbage. And I think he would even admit that he had not played particularly well lately. But this year, I mean, he was at almost a point per game, I think, before he went out. And this year he looked pretty good to the point where everyone was like, has Drew Doughty turned back the clock? Like, how is he doing this again? And he was having a really good season. And I saw someone on Twitter point out that, you know, he was one of the loudest voices in the Kings, you know, leadership veteran group, kind of lobbying for, okay, we're ready. Like, let's start bringing in guys. Let's start making deals to make this team more competitive. And, you know, Rob Blake went out and got Phil Deneau and went out and got Victor Arvidsson. And now the team is tentatively in a playoff position. And then Drew Doughty's not even going to get to experience it because he's broken.
Yeah. I tweeted something before this awful road trip. So like, I guess 2 weeks ago or something, I was like, is Dustin Brown dead? Like, did he die and nobody told us? Like, no offense to Dustin Brown, because I'm sorry that they don't need him, but also mm-hmm. it's kind of like, could you at least just tell us if he's dead or not? I just want to know.
Right. Like, what's the deal? What's the deal with Dustin Brown?
And Dustin Brown is also key to their leadership. I know, you know, there was the whole controversy with the captaincy being taken away from him, but he was always a real good sport about it. And even though, like, their leadership is quiet outside of Drew Doughty, it matters that you see your leader mm-hmm. there, like somebody who was counted on to be a leader, and, mm-hmm. and you see him there in the room with you. And I forgot what year it was, but it was a year when, you know, some of their, I think it was like 2015 or something, like a bunch of their core leader guys, like Matt Green and Willie Mitchell and mm-hmm. like a whole bunch of others, they were either injured or gone. And Drew Doughty, I think it was Drew Doughty, he had an interview where he's like, actually, it matters mm-hmm. that they're not in the room and they're not playing games with us. Like, it's totally different when you see them and you're not playing games with them.
Yeah. Yeah. It like upsets the whole equilibrium, like, of the team. You know, they can be there in the room as much as they want, like after games in their little suits to give out high fives, but everyone knows it's not the same as having them, you know, on the ice going into battle with you, like whatever. It's just like so frustrating. Like, that's just like the theme of everything that's happening right now. And like, in some respects, I'm like, okay, like if it had to happen at any time, I'm glad it's this year, because this year, like, we all know, you know, what one of my friends basically phrased it as, like, the Kings are playing with house money. Like, any success that they have right now is just an added bonus because no one expected them to be decent this year. And so it's like, if they make the playoffs and get, even if they get, like, you know, they win one game, like whatever, like that's still a good experience for the young guys. And then everyone comes back next year and healthy and whatever. So, you know, I'd rather this year be the one where like the entire blue line dies, because no one looked at the Kings and were like, ah, they're going to win the cup this year. So I guess maybe they got it all out of their way, out of their system now. Maybe, hopefully. I hate this team.
I was talking to my friend who's a big Bruins fan, and she's like, yeah, we have nobody left on our defense. I was like, buddy, at one point we were playing the Ontario Reign defense, like literally outside of Olimata. We were missing all six of our starters at one point. Yeah. Like, don't talk to me about how you're upset that some of your defensemen are hurt. Yeah. And I know she didn't mean it like that, but I was like, I'm sorry, I can't relate.
Right, like, sounds crazy.
Yeah, and the Bruins also are like 100 plus point pace right now, so I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, yeah, I'm whatever.
Right, like, oh, tiny violin.
Yeah. Especially after the 7-0 blowout, and I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, I have no more sympathy left for the Bruins.
No, absolutely none.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so if the Kings manage to make the playoffs, hockey gods willing, and I think I cursed the Kings with my monkey paw, like, wish, and I'll explain that in a minute. Should the Kings make the playoffs, do you think McClellan should be considered for the Jack Adams, and should Rob Blake be considered for GM of the year?
I think they both should be. I mean, honestly, even if they don't make the playoffs, I think they should both at least be in consideration for it, because, you know, realistically, this team, even if they don't make the playoffs, this team has outperformed what anyone thought that they would. Like, the Phil Deneau move alone should win someone an award for bringing him in. You know, I think that they should both be in conversation for it. I don't know if they should win, particularly looking at McClellan and how the Kings have kind of struggled, you know, down the stretch. And, you know, some of it is personnel, but some of it you're like, okay, you have made zero adaptations, Todd McClellan, to your lines or your defensive pairings or anything. Like, you haven't like changed to suit the circumstances you're in. So, you know, would he win it? I don't think he necessarily should, but I think he definitely is worthy of a nomination, because yeah, like, this team is, despite all odds, still clinging to a playoff spot, which is not something that 99% of hockey people thought was possible.
Yeah, I'm a little iffy on Todd McClellan being nominated for Jack Adams. I think he should be in conversation. I'm not sure mm-hmm. if he's really worthy of it. Because, like you said, you know, he's slow to make adjustments. And I get that, because it's funny, because we've talked about it a lot. I don't know if I talked about it with you, but I've certainly talked about it with James, where he's the polar opposite of Daryl Sutter. Like, mm-hmm. Oliver Kylington is a healthy scratch, or at least he was skating on their scratch line. It was either in practice or in morning skate, but I wasn't paying attention. So, you know, Oliver Kylington is probably going to be a healthy scratch in Calgary's next game, which is like, how do you scratch Oliver Kylington? But
right.
The Flames also have banked an incredible amount of points right now.
Oh, yeah.
I was saying to somebody earlier, I was like, they could play the Stockton Heat and it would make zero difference, honestly.
They could. Stupid Calgary.
Like, and Stockton Heat were also the first team in the AHL to clinch too. So,
and they're very annoying to play
right now. Oh God, they're gonna win the cup this year, aren't they?
Shh, don't bring that evil into the world.
But, like, you know, whereas Daryl Sutter is quick to mix things up even within a game, Todd McClellan is very reluctant. He wants to get people to kind of figure their own ish out, which is good if you are, you know, an AHL coach, or if you're coaching a bunch of young kids. And so, you know, his reluctance to do it in the season when we were playing half the Ontario Reign roster, that one I can forgive. But like the insistence of playing Olimana, the insistence at dressing Brendan Lemieux, these are like, like, what does Brendan Lemieux bring? You want an energy biting guy, you got Blake Lizotte for that.
He's biting.
I'm going to bite my tongue and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that has been the... And I feel like if you talk to, you know, Oilers fans and Sharks fans from when McClellan was their coach, I feel like this is a familiar theme in the Todd McClellan school of, well, this is what we're doing and we're just sticking to the plan. But there's a point where, like, sticking to the plan, you need to reevaluate your plan, because if it's not working, maybe it is time to tinker. Like, there's the extreme of the, like, I feel like Joel Quenneville is always the example of, like, you have one bad shift. He's like, blow up all the lines. Like, everyone, every man for himself, like, everything has changed now. Like, which is also not good. Like, players don't necessarily like that either, because you can't build chemistry if you never know who you're playing with. But yeah, it's past time for some things to get shaken up. And instead, you know, we're just rolling out the same pairings, the same lines, hoping that, like, maybe this time they'll work well together. At least they stopped trying to make Adrian Kempe a center. If anything, if there is anything good that comes out of this season, it is that they realized that needed to stop. And surprise, Adrian Kempe has 30 plus goals now.
Yeah, and Philip Deneau has 20 plus goals in
Yeah.
for the first time ever in his career. So, these are some of the things that I'm willing to kind of tip in Todd's favor for, like, the nomination for Jack Adams. I'm just the unwillingness to make adjustments because
Yeah.
you're like, you're smart, you can figure it out. Like, yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you're trying to give people every chance to figure it out themselves. But at some point, it's like
Yeah.
you gotta try something new. It's
Yeah.
not working, whatever you're doing. But for GM, I definitely think Rob Blake should, even if he doesn't win, he should at least definitely get a nomination. I
Yeah.
mean, the Arvidsson trade and the Philip Deneau signing, just freaking genius. Bringing up Kaliev looked really smart early on, even though Kaliev was scratched for reasons in the last game.
Secret reasons. I wonder if it's one of those, like, he was late for breakfast kind of things. Like, because I feel like McClellan has been pretty open in the past about, like, other times where he scratched him or, like, moved him around in the lineup. He's been kind of open about, like, yeah, like, I just, like, we, you know, there, it was like when he was, like, on the top line and then moved him back down. He was like, yeah, like, we wanted to try it, but it didn't really work. And, you know, I wonder if there was, like, something else stupid that happened of, like,
Maybe.
brought the wrong shoes or whatever that
Needed his
they, like,
size.
sat him. But, or it could just be, you know, Todd being Todd and was like, no, we're gonna have you sit and, like, look at the game, which sometimes that has the desired experience. Like, you know, didn't wasn't it like Tyler Toffoli? They scratched him last season, and then he went on to, like, actually be, or whenever his last, like, last season, like, he was a healthy scratch at one point, and he came back from that and, like, got the message and was really good, and then we traded him because everything is terrible.
I miss him.
Stupid Calgary.
Stupid Montreal. You should have hung on to him. He was better in the East. He signed that 4-year deal because he wanted to stay in Montreal. You a-holes.
Right, and jerks. But, you know, he's back with his buddy, Daryl
Yeah.
Sutter, and Milan Lucic, who still exists.
Hey, he's doing really well in Calgary. He is thriving under Daryl Sutter.
Which is not surprising.
No, he's a Daryl Sutter type of player for sure. Even if it didn't work out in LA, but that's a whole different issue that we don't need to talk about.
Yeah, it's a whole other show.
All right, so 14 points gets them into the playoffs, 12 points, big capital letters, should 7 games against real crappy teams. I don't like our odds, Sarah.
Like, I feel like we can pull it out against these crappy teams, but I'm afraid that Vegas is going to go on a tear. Especially if it looks like they might be getting Mark Stone back soon, which I'm terrified of.
I
Like,
think they have like no cap space.
yeah, I don't really know how they're gonna wrangle that. They keep adding more people to long-term injured reserve. Eventually they're gonna run out of injured people, I think. But if they get him back, I feel like even injured, you know, not at his best, Mark Stone is still really good. So it's entirely possible for the Kings to, like, turn it around and look really good down this stretch against, again, really miserable, bad hockey teams and still, like, miss out by, like, one stupid point or something because Mark Stone was like, F you, and then wins a bunch of games for Vegas.
Yeah, but now we have Mark Stone's paper. I'm making a stupid pun here. We have his nemesis. We have Philip Deneau.
I just got what your pun was. That's a really good one.
I'm sorry. I was trying to think of like what the opposite of rock was, and it was the first thing that came into my mind.
I mean, I like it. I like where you're going with it. But yeah, we do have his nemesis. So, like, I mean, I'm all about that. Like, I would love to see his life be made miserable again by our perfect boy, Phil Deneau. But
The wildest thing about the Habs going to the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, to the Stanley Cup final, was Philip Deneau somehow shutting down Mark Stone in seven games.
It was so good.
Six games.
It was, I loved it.
It was.
I loved every second of it.
Oh, I forgot to tell you what my monkey paw thing was. So,
yes.
Okay, I was making a wish during the Isabel Cup final. That's the PHF final, for those of you who don't know. Professional Hockey Federation, formerly known as the NWHL. I'm rooting hard for my Connecticut Whale, who, of course, let me down because I only root for teams that let me down. And yeah. Boston has all the luck.
Jerks.
Anyway, rooting after they blew a 2-1 lead. And then they went down 3-2. So I'm like rooting hard. I'm like, okay, universe, if the Connecticut Whale can pull this out, win the Isabel Cup, then I don't care if the Kings make the playoffs. I will trade the Kings playoffs for the Connecticut Whale winning the cup. The Whale did not win, but I think the universe was still like, oh, you want the Kings to make the playoffs? Let me grant your wish for you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. It's my fault. I just wanted something nice for Shannon Turner. She deserved it. She unretired for this. I'm sorry. I have feelings.
Stupid Boston.
Why has Boston always got to get lucky, man?
Magic. Witchcraft.
Well, from now on, I'm anti-Boston.
That's fair.
I'm sorry to all Boston fans. Well, I'm really not that sorry, but even in the beanpot, I don't want any Boston teams to win. And I know how crazy is that because it's only in Boston, but like, I don't know. Magic. All right. Well, here's hoping that our boys can win against these crappy teams.
Fingers crossed. I have to go watch them play against Chicago, and I'm just terrified that they're going to blow it.
I have a pretty good record this year.
Like they've done pretty. I think I have a winning record of seeing them in LA. So hopefully that translates to here.
Well, hopefully like their road magic like reasserts itself and.
Right.
Like, Matt Roy doesn't look half dead anymore.
Poor guy. He might be half dead. We don't really know.
Well, he gets to play with John Dursey. He shouldn't be half dead.
He might. They never told us what was wrong with him. He might actually be half dead. He's a zombie. That's my theory now. That's why he hasn't looked right. He's a zombie, and he's still working out how to play hockey as a zombie.
Wasn't it like a lower body injury or something?
I think so, yeah. It was some sort of bodily injury.
It was some... Sorry, that just reminds me of what Daryl Sutter said. What's wrong with Matt Green? It's a body injury.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Upper, lower. It. I don't know. It's somewhere on his body.
Both.
Thank you, Daryl.
All.
Yeah, I mean... I'm still gonna blame Olimata. I'm sorry, Olimata, that you're the punching bag, but his injury came after he had to play like 30 minutes with Olimata. I mean, I'm not saying it's a coincidence, but I'm not saying it's not a coincidence. All right.
I like the conspiracy theory. I'm down with it.
I love conspiracy theories. Oh yeah. Any final thoughts about our boys, our disappointing boys.
R.I.P. Drew Doughty, we knew you well. I hope you grow a new wrist or whatever.
I hope their offense wakes up, but more importantly, I hope that, like, their goaltending stops falling apart.
Yeah, that would be important. I would like for that to be addressed.
Here's my wish to the Monkey Paw universe. Kings get their offense going, and their goaltending is good. Both at once. But at the same time. Is that asking too much?
Yeah. It might be. We'll see. I feel like the, like, monkey paw of that is, like, I don't know, Adrian Kempe suddenly forgets how to skate or something.
Well, chances are he will, like...
But...
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to tempt fate.
Nope. Nope, don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm not going to. All right, well, thanks for joining me tonight, Sarah. Let's
Good.
Hope the Kings get their 12 points.
Always glad to share my feelings.
All right.
Oh, God.
Okay.